Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we are in the classroom. Family. When I tell you it's been a long day, it's been a very long day. When I tell you that we've had to suffer through 100-degree weather, when I tell you, guess what? We still got to fast in the middle of everything. When I tell you, you know, there's just so much that still has to be done in a day, in this spiritual energy, this year. I don't know if you know this, but today is the middle of the month, of the middle of the 6 months. We're halfway through this year. 2022 is almost done. And I'm sitting here because I can see, you know, I'm getting stuff done. I'm making things happen. And every time I'm like, whew, I'm going to catch up next week. Something else major happens. I'm going to catch up next week. Something else comes up. And so when I say this has got to be, for me, one of the busiest years, high expectation, high output, high input, just high. We have been really making some things happen. And, I mean, I know it's all God. There's no question whatsoever that this is God's work. And how do I know? Because it can't be mine. It can't be. I would have been ran out of steam. I would have been ran out of time, out of energy, out of jokes, out of everything. I'm just done. So that's how I know that this is God, because it's really beyond my human understanding, my human patience, my human everything. And when I think about how it's hotter in Georgia than parts of Florida, and, you know, I'll talk to my little one. He's like, Mom, that doesn't make sense. I was like, Son, we're past that. We passed logic, okay? We can't even get the logic. We're past that. So, you know, I hope everyone is maintaining themselves, their energy, you know, in the middle of times like this. This is really when we have the most problems. And, you know, when things are hot, temperatures hot, energies hot, expectations hot, you know, they talk about hot girl summer. It's hot, okay? And all those things put together and sprinkle in a little, you know, heat wave, sometimes there's problems. You know, unfortunately, I can't even keep up. I can't even keep up with all of the shootings we have going on, all of the hardships going on. There doesn't seem to even be a break on those things. So, you know, along with trying to maintain, and hot can be, you know, we can define hot a couple different ways. Hot in temper, hot in temperature, hot in, you know, we get out a lot of hot going on. So take a minute and regulate yourself. You know, I've had a couple of situations try to take me out, my character, and I don't come out of character easy. I'm not going to just give it to you. You're not going to be able to say, oh, you got under Mama Seven's skin easy. Not saying it's impossible, but it's not an easy task. So even when I found myself in this crazy situation, I said, hold on. I am not going to allow that to happen. And so, I have had to find myself pulling even myself back. Monday was the Bushwoman report, awesome report. And it's broke down kind of understanding where we are. So even though we're in Gemini season, the full moon is in Sagittarius, which is exactly across from Gemini. And so I already knew what that Sagittarius moon was going to ask for. everything crazy, you know, everything on a whirlwind, you know, everything real quick to switch up. And, oh, that Sagittarius energy, it will get you if you are not expecting it. And so, oh, yeah. So after the report, I was like, I knew it. I knew there was a reason. I didn't say it was a good reason, but I knew there was a reason all this was happening like this. And that is so true. It's so very true. But we are moving along. We're trying to get through this, our own idea. Now, I remember when we were doing devotions just the 1st of April, right? And I remember how hard we went in the paint in the beginning. And I remember how difficult everybody said it was. Everybody was like, this has got to be one of the hardest fasts I've ever done. You know, even I myself, it wasn't a difficult fast, but because I was trying to be, you know, do something completely different, I had to do a lot of planning, preparing. I spent more time thinking and planning and getting food and getting fresh food and preparing fresh food and raw this. I spent more time focusing on my food that month than I ever had in my entire life. I mean, even when I was carrying children, I did not focus on food to that degree. And it shows. You hear me? It showed. I could feel the difference. My attitude towards the food was very different. It went from it feeling like a burden to me really being thankful and grateful for the sacrifice of the land to nourish myself, you know? And so halfway through this great fast where I'm really getting to know myself, I got tired. And one of the daily studies that we had to do was staying motivated. And it hit right about the 15th and the 16th. This is where we are right now. We are at that point in the year where we have to stay motivated. We have to say, okay, I can feel, you know, I've been working this hard. I've been putting this together. I've been doing this and doing this. But, you know, I'm tired at this point. So I have to find a way to stay motivated in the middle of it. And so that's where we are really in the year. How do we pump it up from here? You know what I'm saying? How do we make sure we stay on target for this year? You know, honestly, I've seen a couple people right here give up on a year. They're like, oh, I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to achieve that goal this year, so I'll just wait until next year. You know, I'm not going to achieve the goal of losing the 20 pounds like I thought I was, so I'll just wait till next year. No, don't wait till next year. You may not be able to hit 20, but you might be able to hit 10. It's a half a year. Half a year, half the goal. You know, so right now, you know, I'm really going to ask everybody, take a minute and think about your goals. Think about where you were around the first of the year. Think about what you thought was important. Think about what is still important. There are a couple of things, you know, that may have, you're like, yeah, I'm not that worried about my bathing suit body right now. Right now I'd like to just work on toning up or whatever. I know, you know, everyone knows I started off the year with some very real spiritual goals. Hey, I want to go back into my 99 names. Hey, I want to really study this agape love. Hey, I want to work on this. So I had some very, go back into my Kabbalah studies. I had some very clear goals that I was looking for. And I said, you know, I was going to, by the middle of the year, I just knew I was going to be at this point or at that point. But now we're at June, and I need to think, hey, where am I in these goals? What am I doing? How am I going to continue to achieve what I'm looking to achieve? And that's where we need to really kind of get to. Okay? That's where we need to try to be. How do I keep making this work? So I had a very, you know, everyone knows it's a spirit-led program. And spiritually, in the middle of my meditation, spirit will speak to me and ask me questions about, you know, what do you think? What are you thinking about this? What are you thinking about that? And so today it came up, what do you think about God's word today? What do you think about God's word today? And I answered the question, you know, God has been kind to me. I don't think I'm spoiled. I don't think I haven't gotten everything that I've wanted. But the things that I really needed and the things that had value for me and everything else like that, I got. And I appreciate it, you know. And so I was thinking about what God meant today, what his word meant to me today. And when I say today, I mean June 15, 2022. What did it mean today to have this relationship with God? And then, you know, Spirit, you know, challenging me. Okay, well, what do you think God's expectations are for you today? And, you know, me and my, I don't want to say smart alecky, but me and myself, I was like, okay, I believe that God wants me to follow. I believe that God wants me to be positive and kind to his other children. I believe that God wants me, and I have a list of things that within myself, I really do believe this is God's expectation of me, right? And so the question was, has that changed? You know, I've been studying for a while. I've been, you know, not just having, building a relationship with God, because I've been doing that as well, but I'm talking about studying. I want to know everything that there is to know and understand about God. I want to know and have an understanding of other people's experience with God, because maybe there's something that someone else knows that I don't. You know, I talk to babies about God. You know, there's not a space where I have gone where God was not. He wasn't just there. You know what I'm saying? So the question was, do I think that God's word changes? Do I think that his word is going to change? Do I think his expectation for me is going to change? And I had an automatic answer, and then I had to stop and think. So my automatic answer was, no, God's word does not change. What God said is what God said. And I was like, okay, well, how do you justify this? How do you justify that? How do you explain this occurrence then if God's word doesn't change through the generation? And so it was a real interesting conversation for me. I had to really go and stop and think and say, okay, if God's word doesn't change, then what did change? Because something changed. Something changed. And it seems to me, and this is an open discussion. Y'all know how I am. It's an open discussion. I'm open to hearing your interpretation, just as I'm open to sharing mine. But if God's word doesn't change, how are certain occurrences explained? Like I said, I'm open to hearing. I'd love to hear your answer. Because either God's word has changed or we are way, way off target. Way off target. Like, we are not listening.
that we are boldly not listening. And really, I say God's word, but I haven't, if you notice, I haven't specified, like, which holy book. I haven't specified not just what holy book, what rendition. Now, anytime you have a couple of renditions, I'm sorry, I'm going to question the validity of the work. You know what I'm saying? Think about it now. If you have, if you show me, okay, there's salt, right? There's black salt, there's pink salt, there's red salt. And what are you going to say? What are you going to say when you see all these salts? You're going to say, well, what's the difference? I got kosher salt. I'm just naming all the salt. These are just in my humble abode. You know, I got rock salt. You know, what is the difference? What's going to make the difference? What's the difference in them? So when we're thinking about God's word, and we have, okay, well, this person believes this, and that person believes that, and da da da. What changes? And so I'm not going to hold you in suspense any longer. I'm going to tell you the answer early in the program. And I'm going to say God's word does not change. It is our interpretation of his word that changes. And that alone leads to the idea that some of those interpretations may not be right. Think about it. And y'all, look, y'all can stone me later. There's a long line behind people that wish to stone me, okay? So I'm not worried about it. But I'm just asking you to think for a moment. God is everlasting. His word, his truth endures to all generations. You know, we already have the blueprint that tells us, you know, that God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations, right? We already know that this is an ever-loving God, everlasting, everywhere, all-knowing, right? We already know this. So in order for something to continue to be here, we have to understand that it's alive, right? Do you think that God's word changes every 5 or 10 years? Or do you think that those that are pushing an agenda and wish to justify their words and justify their actions, do you think that changes every 5 or 10 years? I'm so sorry. I have to bring it up. I have to talk about it. I have to share because I want us to get back to God's word. I don't want us to come up with the excuse of, well, you know, this is what I've heard, okay? So this is what I've heard. This is what I know. People love to make excuses for what they do, right? They don't want to be accountable. They don't want to be. And so when I tell them, hey, I don't think God is pleased with that. Oh, they'll tell me, oh, this is fact. Oh, that's old-fashioned. Oh, we don't do it like that no more. Oh, God doesn't hold us accountable like that anymore. Oh, God said, come as you are. Any of this sound familiar, y'all? I hate to tell you this. But all those cute excuses are just that, excuses. That's not what God says. You know, we like to get to the point where we want to use God's grace and mercy to benefit. We like to use God's grace and mercy almost as a crutch, where we don't have to be accountable for our actions. But I'm telling you, it's not true. You have to be accountable, okay? You have to do what God says and stop trying to pretend like there's a place and space where God's word is not God's word. We love to do that, and it is not right. Not right. And so what you hear me stuttering on is my, I don't want to get to the point where I am, I don't want to shake my finger too much. That's not the purpose of the radio program. The purpose is to educate, you know. The purpose is to talk about how do we get closer to God's word, you know. The purpose is to how do we put spiritual practices in a very carnal world. Because this world will have you thinking that those God principles don't matter anymore. And so this is why we have to have this conversation, okay? This is why. It's not a matter of does God's word change. It's a matter of I believe. I have to talk for myself right now. I believe we all know right from wrong. I believe as much as we would like to split hairs, I believe we all have a really good idea as to the things that God wants for us, okay? I love the, there's this book out there, Everything I Needed to Learn, I Learned in Kindergarten. I love that book. I love that book because it really, really helps to simplify for us the things we should do and things we shouldn't do. Some of this stuff is very elementary. And I find the people that don't want it to be elementary are the ones that don't want to listen to God's word. That those are the ones that want to say, oh, no, that's not what it means anymore. Anymore? God's word doesn't change, though. Only, you know, on one hand, your relationship with God can be very, very simple, very natural. You know, almost, you know, childlike. And there are many cultures and religions that speak about having that child love, affection, admiration, also obedience. When you tell a child don't, they won't. When you tell a child don't and put the expectation on them that they're not supposed to, they won't. Only when the child, you know, thinks they've grown up that they become quote unquote, you know, aware of themselves, and then they start to make, then they start to pull an Adam and Eve and start hiding because they're naked. But really, God's word doesn't change. So if we keep ourselves in this pure state, then we don't have to worry about reaping the wrath. You know what I'm saying? I would love to hear someone else's idea on God's word, okay? And if you want to join me because the phone lines are lit, which is exactly what I was expecting, all you have to do is press 1. This is an open conversation, you know. The more we talk about this, the more we get more understanding, and we can talk and we can build from here. But the only way that we're going to build and the most wonderful way to build is through honesty and transparency, okay? That's the way we're going to get ahead. We got to be honest, and we got to be clear on some things, okay? So first thing that let's be clear on, all right? There are a couple things. First thing to be clear on, every person, I don't care what religion you were brought up in, I don't care if you weren't brought up in religion at all. Everybody knows the basic right from wrong. Basic. Instinctual. Even animals know. So when it comes to us justifying our actions, when it comes to us utilizing God's word to make this point or make that point or whatever, you didn't do that. That's wonderful. But everyone has a basic understanding of God's word. Okay? So all these things when I hear people say, the devil made me do it, I'm like, the devil in you? What devil? What devil made you do it? Because you knew not to do that because God has already put that inside of you. So I don't really want to hear the devil made you do it. All right? The devil doesn't have any power. Only the power that you give it, that you relinquish, that you turn it over. Okay? So let's talk about this. Everyone has this basic understanding of right and wrong, right? Correct? Everyone, and you can call, you can challenge. I love it. So if you know basic rights, then you know basic wrongs. Everyone knows, I'm going to sit here and say it again, on a kindergarten level, what God wants us to do and what God does not want us to do. Why do we fight that? Why do we fight those basic instincts? I know people that will fight. They're fighting themselves. Why? God's word. Are we talking about God's word in the scripture, in the book? Are we talking about God's word on your heart? And does that ever change? Or do you just grow up and kind of learn new words? I don't know. I don't know. But we had to talk about this. And this is a little strange for me. I don't usually do this with a wonderful approach. But Spirit really was like, no, we need to talk about it. Because God's word doesn't change. You change. Right? So let's talk about it. Let's talk about where we're at. Let's talk about where we've been. Let's try to help somebody else on this road as they're trying to find out where they are in God's word. Okay? Look, this is what we're doing. All right, I'm going to the phone line. Greetings, welcome to the program.
Greetings.
Brother Ibrahim.
Yes.
All right. Thanks. So, are your ears burning?
yeah, man. Like always. Great conversation. And they are. Me being a person,
okay.
A very big advocate of scripture and word. And I think to me, we go back to why did we go to the word, many of us, and what were we trying to get from the word? And we were looking for something. So when we find out, we're asking ourselves, did the word of God change? If we don't find that tranquility, that peace, all the things we were searching for, it isn't that the word of God has changed. We have to look at how do we still apply the word of God to our life? You know what I'm saying? And so that's,
okay,
right, I don't care what.
Ibrahim,
okay.
Slower. All right.
Okay.
Do we apply the word of God to our life? Okay.
Right.
Now, that's a great
initially
point. Because my thing is, why wouldn't we? But that's a great question. That's a great point.
I think you hit on some things earlier. Initially, when we're introduced, this goes into a lesson of wonderful approach based spiritual language. A lot of
Absolutely.
Us were introduced to our higher power, to the creator, the universe, all in all, whatever we're referring to God as, we were introduced to our parents through some form of religion, our base spiritual language. But them introducing us to God and to all the goodness was a way of introducing us to morals, principles, ethics, proper social interaction with one another through the word and through scripture and through various religions. For me, it was Islam. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You still with me so far? So as we came up, we would apply these scriptures to our life expecting the results. God says in the Quran, what reward for good is there other than good? I would use that scripture and I would apply good to my life expecting good. And, you know, God says when you see people, greet them with peace. So I'd say, you know, salam alaikum, peace, brother and sister, expecting peace in return and creating a peaceful state. relying, believing in these scriptures. And I'm sure it's the same with other faiths. When we go astray and we don't get these desired results, has the scripture changed or have we deviated from the scriptures? When I don't find peace in my life no longer, when I'm not being prosperous, when I'm not getting good, am I doing what the scripture said, putting good out? God says there's no reward for good but good. So if I'm not receiving good, has the scripture changed on me or have I deviated from the scripture?
And that's really the question, you know what I'm saying? And I think everybody kind of has to have that answer where they kind of surrender to the truth of the matter, which is you changed. God didn't change.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? God still, God's promises ring true. God says X, Y, and Z, this is what it is. We changed it up. Like you said, when we don't, or you said when we do things and get what we're supposed to, fine. How about when we don't do what God says? You know, if we're not following God's instructions, how do we expect to still be under the covenant that gets those things? You know what I'm saying?
Impossible.
It's impossible.
Impossible.
And you
it's
know.
Like a cookie recipe. It's like your grandmama's cookie recipe. If she says, you know, this much milk, baby, this much flour, this much sugar, and you go to put in mayonnaise or not enough, man, doesn't need that much sugar. That's too much, you know, and you're adding two. It's not, you're not going to get those delicious cookies, you know.
Exactly.
And
that's
just all it is. We want the cookies of God, but, you know, to get that delicious cookie, there's an ingredient. If you want a Christian cookie, God has given you this wonderful scripture, this book, and says if you do A, B, and C, you'll get this delicious cookie. If you want your Islamic cookie, you know, here goes this scripture. So for whatever, you know, whatever, there are ways. And to me, some of us, when we get into our spirituality, you know, like in Islam, it says that the ayats or verses or signs of God are in nature. So then you begin to hear the word of God as you see God in all things. Should you develop or adapt and embrace that understanding, you begin to see the word of God in all things that bring about, like you were saying earlier, those goods of God. We know right from wrong. So the word isn't so much, thou should not kill. You begin to know, like, I don't need you to tell me. This is my property at some point.
Right.
And trespassing upon this person or putting it in my pocket and walking away with it isn't right socially.
Right.
Or it just doesn't feel right because it doesn't belong to me.
Right.
So, yeah. And I think that but the base is that base spiritual language allows us, gives us framework to evolve to that understanding of finding the word of God and just what is instinctively right and righteous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is absolutely a wonderful point. Man, I appreciate
calling
in and sharing.
Appreciate you having me.
And building. You know, this is one of those conversations, and so I'm glad you took the time out of your day to share with us.
Oh, man, I love the build. I love the build that you're on, so I appreciate it, man. I'm listening in.
Absolutely. All right, so talk to you soon.
All right, talk soon. Peace.
Man, let me tell you that. Let me tell you. I run across some very unhappy people because they are, quote-unquote, wanting and desiring grandma's cookies, like Brother Ibrahim said, but they don't want to follow the recipe. I don't want to turn the oven on 425 degrees because it's going to heat up the whole house. I'm going to put it on a lower temperature, but I'm going to let them cook a little longer. Those are not going to be grandma's cookies. They might be cookies. They might be brittle. It might be a brownie bar. It may turn out to be an apple pie. It could turn out to be something else, but those are not grandma's cookies, okay? We sit and we want for the promises that God's word gives us. As a woman, God's word gives me this promise of protection, of love, of guidance, of visit. God has spelled out what he is going to give me. So he already told me what kind of cookies these are. He's also given me the recipe. You have to do X, Y, and Z. He's also told me what not to do. Very clearly. And it's up to me. If I want the benefit, I have to follow recipe, even if it's hot, even if it's inconvenient, even if no one else looks like they're doing it. Because I get that too. Oh, ain't nobody else doing it. I have to do it. Ain't nobody else doing it or looking like they're doing it because I'm not the one doing it. God sent me to be the light. I got to be the light. So we have to make sure that as spiritual people, we are tuning our ear to hear God's word in everything. In everything. So, great conversation. Great conversation. And more to come. Phone lines are lit. I want to get as many people in as possible because we need to have an understanding about God's word. Because the word is what we're building everything on. Okay? All right. Same with the phone lines. I'm going to grab the caller because we got to get into this. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Alafia and greetings. How are you?
Alafia, my sister. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Greetings,
great
family. Hot is hot.
Yeah. 100 degrees. No, just 100 degrees. Getting cooked in your own juices. Yep, here we are.
Oh, God.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. So I'm not going to take up too much of his time. However, I just wanted to go back to while you were talking, I'm listening. I'm like, yeah. Came across my spirit was, you know, I've always had an issue with or, you know, working through this whole concept of good and bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you say good and bad, it makes one seem like it's well, God has created everything. So if you're saying
mm-hmm.
God is all-knowing, creative, anything, so the good and bad is like, is it good or is it bad? So when it comes to us and the things that we do, there's certain things that's natural and that's unnatural. So it's natural for a black widow spider to mate with their mate and then eat them. That's natural. That wouldn't be good or bad. Unnatural for us to mate with our mates and then turn around and eat them. That's
yeah.
unnatural.
It's pretty much.
Right. Yeah. It's out of order. So when you're looking in nature, you're looking at what is natural and what is not natural, you know, it is when we're in our unnatural state, you cannot follow nor can you hear the word of God. It'd be hard for you to follow. When you're putting unnatural things in your body's going to have a counter, it's going to have a reaction to that, and that's why we end up with dis-ease in our body. That's why when we don't focus our minds or we are confused in our minds, we have a dis-ease in our minds. You know, so when we're out of order or we're dealing unnatural, you know, with ourselves, we're not able to be able to interpret it as natural for humans what it was supposed to do. Because, of course, as the human, as the spiritual being having this human experience, we have certain things that a black widow spider won't have, just like a snake or a bird or an alligator. You know what I'm saying? We see the way they attack their prey. We don't say, oh, that's a good thing or a bad thing. They're in nature. And in their habitat, that's how they have to live. In our habitat, unless we are following or unless we understand that I naturally am supposed to have freedom to love, freedom to grow, freedom to breathe, to do certain things. When we put on to our children this idea of what we want them to be,
then we turn around and we teach them, because there are a lot of children out there that are very young, that are of different races, that are taught certain things by the, they're not born prejudiced and they're not born racist. These are things that are taught to them. They don't know if it's right or wrong. All they know is that based on the environment that they're in, and they can find a scripture to justify it.
Very true. So
they can find a scripture to justify their behavior. So it's not the physical word in the book. That's why you pray before you start to read, so it can be, so the truth can be revealed to you, so you can hear. That's when we get into our natural state, spiritual beings having human experiences, then we will know that, you know what, that's not natural for me to do. It's not natural for me to, you know, hurt somebody else. It's not natural for me to go out here and deceive this person, to steal from this person, to go and do. Why? Because when I do it to you, I do it to myself. The words that we visualize and that the words that we see are just confirmations, because everything that you had in you was way before kindergarten. You were born with it. It just had to be cultivated. Now, you can cultivate it with Miracle-Gro, or you can cultivate it with just average potting soil and water it every now and then, and you're going to get the results based on what you do and how you were cultivated. So
absolutely,
that's just my on that part.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, let me ask you, dear sister, let me ask you a question, okay? So I completely agree with the idea that we should be following a natural rhythm in our life, which we're hearing and focusing from God. My question comes in, I believe that. I know it, I feel it, I understand it. But I still have to be, I'm seven, I have to be disciplined in my actions. So there may be times, it's so funny, I have a new neighbor, and she said, oh, I'm sorry if I get loud at night and sing. Now, what she did tell me is that she sings horribly. She didn't mention that part. She just said sing. I was like, girl. I said, you can dance naked in the raindrops for all I care. I don't care what you do. Leave me alone when I do what I do, okay? Now, she did not mention she sings horribly. And so now I'm like, oh, my God, woman. So, but really, so I said that, we both laughed. Now, we know that they would probably call the men in the white jacket to come and get her if she sang loudly, off-key, naked in the rain, okay? They would call someone to come and get her because God's, you know, there's a general understanding that as an adult, you're supposed to keep your clothes on, you know? But in some religions, in some cultures,
I was about to agree with you. I said, in this society, yeah.
In this society, yes. There are many, many religions that were dance, and naked dance, nude dancing, is part of their culture. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, everyone has their taught culture and traditions and everything like that. And so there is a general societal understanding that you are and you are not going to do that. You know, so my thing is this. So even in your idea of getting into culture and freedoms and stuff like that, do you still find that you have to discipline yourself in your spiritual expression? I'm asking you, Sister Unique.
Okay, so, yes and no. And I say that because I from the aspect of you saying
that because of this culture, can I just go because I'm that one that wants to go out and dance in the rain naked? Of course, yes, I'm going to have to. However, I know there's places I can go and still have the freedom to do that. Mm-hmm. So if I want to do that, you know, and that's a part of my practice, it's to know where to go in order to do that. I'm saying that once you get to the point where we are pushing our beliefs, what we think, what we feel. I mean, there's some countries you go to and, it, you know, a woman will have acid on her face if her face shows and she's covered from head to toe. You know, yes, that might be radical, you know, but then there's other places where you have sisters walking around and, you know, it's nothing for them. All they have is beads on, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, it just depends on where you are. We just live in a culture. You know, you ever have people say, I was born in the wrong time. Well, you might have been born in the wrong country. You know, it's just we need to go places, be around people that are alike, be alike, so then we might see alike. But we also need to learn how to embrace other people. Embrace, oh, that's what you do? Okay. And if it does offend you, why? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There are people who don't like to be around big people. You know what I'm saying? If you bigger than size 12, they got an issue with you. Why do you have an issue with my roles? They're not yours. They're mine. Why do you have an issue with it? That's because mm-hmm. they got issues with themselves. You know, so when mm-hmm. we start pushing our agenda onto other people, then we can't really embrace who and what God is. Because we're all created in the image of God. And so if we're all created in the image of God, then that means God is pretty beautiful. You know, pretty miraculous. Mm-hmm. But what is that image? Is it a physical thing that you see, or is it that spiritual? Is it that, mm-hmm. that stripped of everything? You know, because remember, it wasn't, you know, if you're reading the Bible, it wasn't until they ate of the tree of knowledge, or pardon me, of good and evil, you know, that they realized mm-hmm. that they were naked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by this time they was walking around and they were fine. Well, is that mm-hmm. nakedness a physical nakedness that they realized? Because in spiritually, you know, you didn't look at the body that way. You realized the body was a vessel carrying the spirit. So that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So we have to become disciplined, you know, there has to be order, control, coordination, and discipline in your spiritual practice. I don't think you should be rigid, you know, to the point you should be that palm tree to the word of God. You should be that palm tree to your spiritual development. You should be that palm tree to your growth and development, even when meeting other people. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't make a difference what somebody else does. If you're an orange tree and I'm a banana tree, it don't make a difference how I sway. My fruit isn't going to turn your oranges into bananas. But we're both fruits. Well, actually, mm-hmm. a banana is a berry, so I apologize. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Thank you so much. This is unique. See, I knew this was going to be one of those.
It's one of those. You
one
take
of those.
That
one of those.
You have a great day.
Oh, Lord. We're all naked in the raindrops, but no, we're going to work on this. We're going to work on this. Thank you.
Right,
you know, oh,
fun.
My God. So as this Unique is talking, I got so many things going on. I'm like, yes, no. Yes, no, no. Yes, no. Okay. Especially when we got to the point with pushing the agendas. And I'm like, so I am not into Daisy Duke, okay? I am not into other people's butt cheeks. I'll be real honest with you. I am not. I believe your butt cheeks should be covered. I should not be able to see them on Facebook, Twitter, any of the social medias. I need to let you know, I'm not going to order your twerking video, blah, blah, blah. I think those are things best left either alone or in the bedroom with your husband. But that, you know, we got to the point where, you know, the idea of seeing a woman's
but her crotch, her, all of that is completely okay. And to do it in a and not just to see a crotch, but to have it doing this very sexual everything, right? I'm like, I know this is not what God intended for this. I just know it. I just know. Now, this is Mama 7 talking, okay? This is not a wonderful approach. This is Mama 7. I just sit there and I say, God, they are abusing. This is not what we're supposed to be doing with this. No, this is not it, right? So I'm sitting here and I'm saying, oh, this is horrible. Oh, turn that off. We don't have no twerk sessions in here. This is not what's happening. No, right? That's what I say. And I'm saying that because I was taught to cover traditionally and religiously. So for me, it was like, one, you do it because God says do it. And then two, you do it because it's the right thing to do and God said do it. And so that idea of exposing all that is no. Then, like I be telling people, look, don't come up and talk to me if you ain't got no clothes on. You know, everybody knows I do behavioral health and I'm in and out of people's homes and I'm real quick. Son, go put a shirt on. You walk around with the wife beater. You can't talk to me in a wife beater, okay? I walk in, hey, how you doing? Hi, Ms. Adula. Oh, everything is well. Okay, look, do you like my shirt? Look at me. Yeah, I guess so. It's a decent shirt. Mm-hmm. I would like to comment on your shirt, but you don't have one on. Can you go put a shirt on? Oh, yes. Oh, I get all the huffs and huffs. But for me, I am a stickler. You got to be dressed. Can't be sitting here lounging, undressed, talking to me. But then my yoga instructor of many moons ago, how many moons was that? 9 years ago? 10 years ago? He has been traveling all over the world doing yoga in some of the most beautiful locations in the world. Ghana, I think this happened in Ghana, but all over Africa, all over the South America, all over the Caribbean, right? And he just had a baby. And he had a water birth, which is something that my oldest son is interested in. And my oldest son is interested in it because I think he don't really know everything that goes into it. So as I watch this video, because it's posted all over the world for everyone to see, do I think that's personal? Yes. Did I watch it still? Yes. And so I watch as him and his partner and their midwives delivered this child in water in that whole process. No pain medicine, by candlelight. And I'm sitting here like, yo, this is too much, but I couldn't tear myself away. And so guess what? I saw her butt cheeks. I saw just about everything she had to offer, okay? They had a couple little smiley faces posted here and there, but that wasn't covering nothing. A baby was coming. And in my opinion, this is the most divine thing that can occur for that us humans get to witness. And so as I'm watching this, all of a sudden, those weren't like booty butt cheeks. They were, you know, they were this birthing position. And as she was in this position, I was like, oh, that's what my back be hurting right there. And I saw they were doing some work with her back. And I was like, whoa, look at this. And it was amazing. And all these things that I fight with these young women, oh, you got to cover yourself. I sat here and enjoyed watching this new little princess come into the world a month ago. Okay? Did God's word change? Or did my interpretation of it change?
Did my rules on nudity just change? Because God's rules don't change. Didn't we already say that they don't change? Oh, so if it depends on the perspective. Why? It's still social media. Remember I said I just got mad at these girls doing all this twerking and showing everything on social media? This is on social media, too. So when we talk about God's word, when we talk about who God is, you know, I speaking earlier, even before the program, you know, that was a question. It was like, okay, you're going to be speaking about God's word. Who is God to your listeners? Who is God? And at first I was like, you know, who is God? God is. And I go on to who God is to me. And then from who God is to me, I'm able to tell you what and how I've seen God's word play out. Right? That's how I had to go into, think about this. And so Sister Unique comes and says to me, hey, one of the differences, one is natural and one is unnatural. Could be. But I know I don't want to say bad words. I don't want to say not good words or not exact words. But I know the videos when the girls seem to just be flaunting their body and shameless about themselves and just, you know, over-sexual, they rub my spirit wrong. And seeing this water birth, something that I now know I want to support my child in, and I want to be one of the midwives now. And at first I'd be like, I'm not going to no delivery room. Are you crazy? But now I'm like, no, I'm ready. We can do this, you know. And so I really, you know, it really made me have to look at myself and say, okay, watch how you interpret God's word. Watch how you do. And for those that are, and one thing I've heard throughout the program is certain people may not be aware that this is not correct. So along, you know, on little social media, you know, I see little girls and little, you know, little girls as young as like 3 or 4 doing dances. No, me working, Solomon and my nephew Amir, they went down to the Y when they were little, I mean, 5 or 6, and they, down in Atlanta, it was the best program ever. They went on all these trips. They did this. And I was so surprised that that is big mirror. And I was so surprised that the little girls, the young girls that would be practicing some of these very suggestive dance moves in the mirror. And I know for sure that they were not trying to be sexually, they were not trying to be sexual. These girls were as young as 6, 7, 8, the same, you know, same young age as, you know, Solomon and Amir, and they were not trying to be sexual, but the dance that they were being exposed to was. So some of this also goes into exposure, traditions, everything. You know, I grew up with around natural women, and some of them were Muslim and covered, and some of them were not, and they didn't cover. But whenever there was a hungry baby, some mother was either lifting up a shirt, grabbing a scarf, breastfeeding. It wasn't even a matter of breastfeeding in public. It was breastfeeding. Are you breastfeeding your own child? They would just be breastfeeding and be breastfeeding, okay? Why? Because the child was hungry. That's why. And so growing up, that was never a sexualized thing. That's how babies ate. But now this world, and this is why we have to really begin to, and I hate to be like this, but turn from the world. You know, we have to really begin to understand that this world is not healthy. It doesn't have our best interests at heart. We have to start finding ways to say, this is not right, and I'm not going to do it. This is not God's word.
I know this is not what God intended, period. It's a process, though. But I guess the first part of the process is understanding that God did leave words for us, and we have to begin to apply them. I got another caller I want to get because this is one of those programs. I want to hear it. Let's see here. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. It's Melissa. How are you?
Hey, Sister Melissa. We are great. How about you?
I am good. I'm hot. I can't believe this foolishness. But y'all wanted summer. Y'all wanted heat. This is what you asked for. Just, I'm sorry, but I got issues today. Okay. How are you doing?
I know you're going to bring it to us.
Okay. So my perspective, and I am on everybody else's side. I am team. God's word doesn't change. Man does. I'm not a historian. I'm not a clergy. I don't know a whole lot. But I know somewhere in the Bible, it says God gave man dominion over the earth. And mm-hmm. I believe man and its interpretation has misconstrued so many things that, of course, we're changing. Because
yeah.
That's what we do. We change things. And
mm-hmm.
we misinterpreted that thing so far that Yellowstone National Park is being flooded by ice water that melted because of global warming. And that's all I got to say. I mean, I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Yes.
So,
yes,
we change. We change when we when we split up. We changed the way we spoke, so we had different languages. We changed the way, and I do know, understand nature, so the terrain you are, you know, if you're near water, you're gonna eat and live off of certain things. If you're in the desert, you're going to eat and live off of certain things. So I get that, but we changed the way food is done.
Yes.
When God said dominion over the earth,
way.
I really don't believe that's what he meant. I know that's not what she meant. I know it. So, and I have to say, I don't think that's what he meant, because once we went from goddess to God, a lot of this stuff really went rampant. And I'm not being sexist. I'm just speaking a truth I understand. I'm going to just lay it out like that. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, man has changed. We have so many different religions. We have so many different practices within religions. They use the same religion, but this one can practice it on this day, and this one can have this many wives, and this one can't eat nothing, and this one can drink all they want. I mean, it's like we have so many. Our personalities change as we grow older. All we are is change, and some of that change is not that great because we've abused it. So, you know...
Mm-hmm.
God gave man
mm-hmm.
free will. I still know that's one of the questions I'm going to have for God whenever I get the chance to have that conversation is free will for us. Oh, my goodness.
Right,
please
right.
tell me why. But I know, and I think everybody else on the phone know that, man has changed everything. We changed it so much we stopped recording it. We destroyed the recordings of it. We waged wars just so we could be the ones that we follow. Not God now. Not God.
Right.
We just want to follow this man. This man, so we destroying things. We are destroying a lot of things just to follow man, but we think we're following God. So that's why I'm spiritual, because it doesn't make any sense. I understand killing to survive, you know, you got to eat, and I don't care if you eat a tomato, you're killing a tomato, okay? So just get with the program. You're not going to beat it. There's no cheating death. It is a part of life. But the way how we live can be so much better if we really honestly follow God. I don't care if we
Amen.
Did,
Amen.
But we don't, because we change. All right,
mm-hmm.
that's all I got to say. Love you.
Love you, honey. Love you, honey. And she said it so eloquently in a mouthful. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. We are changing. And we're changing in a disrespectful manner. Okay, I sit back, you know, even when it comes to how we prepare food, disrespectful. Fast food is disrespectful. We need to cut that out. Everything we do is disrespectful. The way we treat each other, the way we treat life, the way everything.
Yeah, we've gone too far. What happens spiritually when we go too far? God usually comes and says, hey, y'all have reached your capacity of nonsense. We're going to start this whole batch over, okay? We're going to start a new batch, you know? So, yeah. God's word doesn't change, we change. We need to start self-adjusting. I remember one time an elder sister was told, hey, you need to stop smoking cigarettes. It's not good for you. Now, we all know cigarettes ain't good for you. No way. It wasn't, that's not even a question. But I remember, it's making me laugh. She was told, you need to stop smoking. And I remember her answer was, look, if God wants me to stop smoking, he'll come down here and tell me to stop smoking. And I remember scooting my chair over. I remember just scooting my chair over. And they were like, you know, look at this, what are you doing? Moving. I'm moving because this one's here, okay? You don't need God to come down and explain to you that what you're doing is not good, not healthy. The way you're doing it is toxic. The way that you're operating your household, your job is dysfunctional. You don't need God to come down here and explain that to you. But you keep playing around, you're going to get what you're looking for. Okay? I will never forget. We were on Sapelo back in the early days. And I remember moving my chair. And anyone that's gone to Sapelo on one of the Mother Eagle ministry retreats, and that's coming up. It's coming up just about now. Everyone will say, oh, she calls it the super retreat. When's the super retreat coming up? I said, well, the super retreat is coming up on the hottest day of the year. So, like, right now it's only 100. We got to wait till it gets to, like, 135, and that's when we're doing the super retreat. So if you've ever been to a retreat, you know when we sit in a room, we are shoulder to shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. And I moved my chair. I was like, oh, no, this one, let me get away. I can't do this. I cannot do this. This child is going to have all of some trouble. God, I am not with her. And everyone thought I was being funny. And I'm like, I'm not being funny. I'm so serious, you know. So I bring that up, and it's really hilarious, making me laugh. But really, even back then, I was like, I don't need that, and neither do you. So, you know, when it comes to a wonderful approach, you know, a wonderful approach is so near and dear to my heart. I don't want anybody to have to learn God's word the hard way. I don't want to have to wait for a wrath. I don't want to have to wait until, you know, we've gone too far and now we're in trouble. And, you know, my goodness, I don't ever want to set a bad example. And then people come back and look at me and be like, but you said, but you did. Oh, my God, it just breaks my heart. That idea breaks my heart. So when it comes to God's word, knowing right from wrong, being disciplined in your steps, you don't need a minister or a preacher to tell you what's right and what's not right. You know. And what I don't want you to do is to tempt God. No need to tempt God into, you know, oh, well, you know, I've gotten away with it this far. Don't keep playing that game. Oh, well, if I wasn't allowed to do it, God would stop me. Please don't make God come down here and stop you. I don't even want to see that car wreck. I don't want to see that. Please. If you know for a fact that you're doing something, and we all have those little things we're not really, you know, they're not against the rules, but you know they're not for the rules. Can we cut those out, you know? You know, this comes, you know, when you are a young person and you're trying to develop yourself as an adult, and, you know, you go to your parent and you're like, look, I'm growing up now and I want to start, you know, being in control of myself and my things and everything else like that. And it's like, you know, and what do your parents say? Same thing my parent probably says and everything like that. When you start proving yourself trustworthy, then I will start trusting you, okay? And if you do this correctly, then you'll get more allowances. But if you keep playing games, I'm not going to trust you with anything, right? Because I know I remember the speech, and I've given the speech, and I got one more in the house that I'm giving the speech to. Well, really, the same applies to God. You know, we don't have to, you know, God gives us more as we prove we're ready for. The more ready we show we are, the more we get. And I'm not talking about material get. I'm talking about understanding get. I'm talking about peace of mind get. I'm talking about just a fullness in relationships get. Just those things that are important to you in life, we get them. When we start showing God, we can handle them, right? This is how I do it. This is the way God's been working with me. So I'm just sharing this because I want you to feel like God is still working with you. And so some of the questions and some of the answers, how do you show God that you're ready? How do you show God that you're listening to his word? Okay? Do you show God that you're listening by actually following the instructions that he's laid out for you? Or do you want to fight and rationalize and justify and just ignore? That may not be sending the signal that you want. Okay? So let's think about this, you know, and back in the day, I do a lot of homework. I got a retreat coming up this weekend. I'm still thinking, I'm still in retreat. I'm on retreat mode. I'm on homework. This homework allows us to reflect deeper. And so just that question of how do we show God we're listening to his word? How do we show God? What does that look like? I can guarantee you it does not look like twerk videos. It doesn't. What does it look like, though? How do we express ourselves? And because spirituality is so open, there's still a lot, there are a lot of different ways to express it. You know, we have studies. I have people studying. I mean, it's amazing some of the studies that come forward when you are focusing yourself spiritually. I was telling one of the baby elephants about POTS. All right, so in the Ifa community, there are beautiful, beautiful, you should see my hand movement, beautiful vessels that they are housed these high deities in. And they're beautiful and they're decorative. And every time I see them, sometimes I go into people's shrine rooms. I just want to see the beauty and the craftsmanship and everything that goes into these vessels, right? But I was telling the baby elephant, I was like, you know, someone created that vessel. And when they created that vessel, they may not have known that, hey, I have a gift that can be used spiritually, but they do. You know, back in the day, we didn't take medicine like a pill. Grandmama cooked. and there is medicine in the food. The way we ate, literally, the food that we ate contained healing herbs for our body. We ate our medicine. You know, and so in a lot of the old books will have that you can heal yourself with food. Not starving yourself from food, eating food. It's usually delicious. So, you know, teas, all kinds of things that we can use. And there were people, they're like, oh, no, I just love cooking. I want you to enjoy the food. They may not have even realized that what they were doing was spiritually healing, protecting, detoxing your body. Okay? So spirituality allows us to do that. The study of spirits, the study of herbs, the study of stones, aromatherapy, acupuncture, the study of prayer. We got studies. I have a long list of them. We did a radio program one time talking about spiritual goals. And I, from that radio program, I think it was only like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I have been continuously adding to it. Oh, we could study this. Oh, we could study that. Spirituality is wide. So that means everyone should be studying something. Why? To come back and have something to contribute during these moments right here. We study so that we can share. Everyone is a teacher and a student at the same time. If you're a teacher and you're not learning, you're not teaching. If you're a student, you need to prepare yourself to teach. Because the person who just came down that road is the best person to tell us how to get down that road. You know where the most recent potholes are. So everyone has something to give, right? What do I need you to take from the show? One, God's word is living. The word did not end back then. The word still exists. It's still valid. We're still responsible and accountable for our actions, our words, and we got to start acting like it, okay? Number one. Number two, do not ignore God's word. Act like it doesn't apply to you or anything else like that, because I don't want God to come down and feel as if he has to teach you or make an example out of you as to what happens when you do not follow God's word. And last thing, if you taking from the program, okay? You know what God's word is, all right? Every now and again, I'll meet people, oh, well, I was watching this YouTube video, and I'm like, oh, my God, don't make me throw up, you know? I was watching this YouTube video, and it said that God did this, and so I did that, and so now here I am. I'm like, stop it. Stop constantly trying to blame your lack of understanding, your lack of confidence in your own word, intuition. Stop trying to look for a scapegoat to blame for reasons for things incorrect. Your interpretation was off. And every time that I've gone back and been like, I know what God wanted me to do. I know why I did something opposite of that. Let me take this as a lesson as to how to be obedient, truly obedient in God's word. Okay? Truly obedient. I remember being a little girl during Ramadan and, you know, as my mother was working with me and, okay, we're going to get ready for fast. I'm like, okay, I'm fasting cigarettes. And she's like, you don't smoke. I was like, I know, it's going to be an easy fast for me. She's like, yeah, no, okay. So don't be a smart butt. Okay, that's a smart butt answer, okay? Yeah, I'm going to give up something I don't do because I'm not worried about it. Don't do that. Don't get to the point where you start saying, hey, well, back in, you know, so-and-so AD, they did this, and so now I'm going to do, no, don't play those games. Don't play those games. Be open, honest with yourself first. Really pull into what you truly believe God has for you. And think about what it looks like for you to follow God's word. What does it look like? And then write it down. You know me. Let's make some goals. You know me. What are the steps that we need to follow to get there? Because I'm all about making it happen. You know, that's that, you know, the energy that works with me. I'm not going to sit and think about this forever. You know, don't take forever to recognize sunshine. Come on now. Let's put this in place. Let's put this in action. Let's show God that we're listening. Let's show God that we're paying attention and that we're able to turn the world down and focus on what God wants from us. That's how we express our understanding of God's word. Okay? Moving into the prayer portion, I want to thank everybody that took a minute out of this hot, blistering heat wave of a day. It's so funny. I got a cute picture from Sister Nicole, and she's in her whites, and she's standing perfectly still. She's like, well, maybe still the heat won't get to me. I said, it don't work like that, sweetheart, but you're cute. You're cute as you're trying to stay still. You're cute. You know, it has been one of those days. It's been one of them days. And every time I survive, every time I don't let that negative energy get to me, every time that I get the opportunity to encourage somebody, lift them up, you know, call in a smoke signal, whatever I can do. I always try to do and do with a good attitude because Lord knows the devil busy. But I know that God has equipped me. He has empowered me to survive this day and the one after and the one after. And I feel very good and comfortable and confident in the middle of all that. Moving into prayer, I want to say a special amen. I lost another family member. We are losing many. It seems like every week I have another list of another person gone to the ancestors. And I always want to say too soon, but God's timing is divine, so divine timing is the only way that you get called to the ancestors, the only way. But, you know, in the family, it's never good. My mother is going to be traveling to the funeral this weekend, so safe travels in the middle of all that. And for my family up in New Jersey, that is, I'm really, really mourning the loss I guess she's an elder. But of our cousin Christine, you know, I really wish I could be there with you. If I didn't have prior obligations, I would be. So I just want to say a special shout out for those energies that are hot and needing of healing. All right? And do your homework tonight, family. Think about what it takes for you to express God's word in your life. Okay? Father, Mother, God, we come before you, grateful, humble, spent listening, wanting for understanding and needing patience in the middle of everything that's going on in this world. We ask you to guide us, to protect us, to love one us, to help us see our way through these challenging times that we're going through immediately. There's so many people going through housing crisis, food crisis, matters of the heart. Unfortunately, that depression is still very high. We have all of these, you know, negative mass shootings, so much going on in the world, God. We pray for peace. We pray for healing. We pray for awareness to help others not meet some of the same mistakes over. God, we ask that we can continue to be those beacons of light for those that need it. There's so many out there in need of our light. I ask, God, that you allow us to be that, that you strengthen us so that we can continue to move forward, knowing that we are doing your work, knowing that we are in the best conditions to do your work, and those that are desiring for you, those that look for you, God, those that want to be the best of themselves so that they can give you their best, please give them those instructions so that they can do, literally do your work. We ask these things knowing that you can, in the blink of an eye, make it happen for us, make it happen for all of those that depend on us, continue to fortify us, asking for, you know, gentleness, asking for some cooler temps, asking for those in need that they begin to have, asking for those that don't know you yet, don't feel like I know you yet, God, for you to open their eyes and open their hearts so that they can enjoy the wonderful relationship that I know that I have, and I'm always looking for more. I ask these things in your name. Amen.